I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the show. Thanks for all the support people showed for last week's episode with Miriam Dowie. What an amazing young lady who's doing some pretty remarkable things, not just with her running, but with her fundraising efforts as well. And I appreciate all the people that shared that show on social media and really reached out to her and me for putting that show together. It was a pretty inspiring one. This week's guest is on similar topic, Tim Oberg, the CEO of Parkrun Australia. He's the reason Parkrun started here many years ago, and he's the reason that so many people have embraced it in a way. You can just tell by the passion in Tim's voice that how much he believes in Parkrun and has some wonderful tales to share about his experiences and how that opportunity to get in a Parkrun run came about. So I really appreciate Tim's time. Very busy man, but extremely well-spoken. And we did an hour conversation, and it could have easily been two or three, I think. It felt like we were just getting started and warmed up. And one of the conversations, I think I enjoy most of the conversations and interviews, but I really came out of this one buzzing because it really seems like running and park runs in good hands. And as I said, really appreciative of the time Tim gave us for this interview. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. If you could help me out and give me a rating on the iTunes store, we're up to about 78 ratings now. It'd be good if we get to 100 this week. People writing reviews, really appreciate that. That's kind of your one way you can show support for the show. And happy running and enjoy this conversation with the CEO of Parkrun Australia, Tim Oberg. Tim Oberg, welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast. Thanks for giving up some time. Pretty busy man in the Australian running world, and we really appreciate having some time with you here today.
Great to be here, Brady. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, beautiful. What I do to start off, Tim, I usually get the guests to introduce themselves. So I'm imagining most of the listeners may have seen your name at the bottom of some emails or something before, but do you want to maybe go through and just introduce yourself and tell the listeners who they're going to be listening to today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Tim Oberg. I'm 39 years young. I live in Airlie Beach in Queensland. I am the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Parkrun Australia, and that was launched in 2011. So been doing that for 6 years.
The man who brought Parkrun to Australia, pretty good claim to fame.
Look, it's going well, and it's certainly far exceeding any expectations that I would have ever had at the start of the journey, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, just on that, like, I've heard a couple of interviews with you, and you weren't really the runner growing up through school, a bit of weightlifting, a bit of rugby, things like that. And if you go back to, I guess, your life as a 15, 16, 17 year old, you wouldn't have picked that you would have been working in this field, would you?
No, it's really funny. Life's twists and turns and the way things happen. But there are things that crop up in parkrun today that do that do take me back to those years, as you mentioned. And so I'll give you an example. So when I was in high school, and my big sports in high school were basketball and rugby, and I. That is because I was quite tall when I was an early teenager, but then I stopped growing and everyone caught up to me. So I went from being good at basketball to not very good at basketball, and good at rugby to okay at rugby. So, but as part of all of that, I did a little bit of, you know, running just for fitness. And I still really clearly remember the day. I think it was the first day. I think I must have run about 8 kilometres or something like that. I ran... because I grew up on Boondall on the north side of Brisbane, and a couple of suburbs away from there is a place called Sandgate, and that's actually where my father grew up. So it was always somewhere that I had known and we visited as a kid. So I'm only, you know, 10 minutes in the car. But so a good run down that way is to run from the pier. There's a pier in Shauncliffe, which is sort of next to Sandgate, and you follow that esplanade all the way to the end, and you get to a bridge that crosses over to a place called Redcliffe. And so that run, I think that run out and back must have been 8K or something like that. And so I clearly remember that because it was probably the first time in my life I ever did sort of what I would have defined at that age as a long run. And and funnily enough, now that long run is Sandgate Park Run.
So, yeah, right. Jeez, what's the coincidence? Yeah,
5 kilometres of that is Sandgate Park Run anyway. So when we launched Sandgate Park Run, I sort of told that story, and interestingly, in a couple of weeks, we're launching Park Run in another suburb in Brisbane called Zilmia, which again is right next to Boondall, where I grew up, and I went to primary school in Zilmia. And so again, it's kind of taking me back to my old stomping ground and places I knew really well as a kid growing up. So it's, yeah, for me, it's one of the real joys of parkrun is A, get going back to these places that I already know, but also B, seeing so many new parts of Australia and of the world.
Yeah, it must be a strange feeling though, going back to those places of your youth. I just know when I go back home and at Christmas time might run on the same trails, it's quite strange, but I couldn't imagine going back there and doing it with hundreds of people on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, look, it's really funny. And you know, I mean, I was at the Redcliffe Parkrun launch not too long ago with about, I think we had about 700 people. It was a really, I think it might be the largest launch we've ever had. So I was at that one, which is, again, is quite close to where I grew up, and was running into people from school. And I got a tap on the shoulder and I turned around, and it was actually the girl I took to my year 11 semi-formal back in the days, and I'd completely lost touch with her. And it was just brilliant to see her. You know, we ran together and just caught up, and I heard about her family, and I told her about my family, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, as I do sort of return to Brisbane in particular, you know, I'm always bumping into people. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool feelings, I can imagine. Tim, I'm assuming that a lot of the listeners would know about parkrun in Australia, but do you want to maybe just go through just some basics about, is it 264 events we're up to now, and just give the guys a bit of a brief understanding of what parkrun is for those who may not have heard of it?
Sure. So parkrun in one sentence is free, timed weekly 5 kilometre run or walk in parks and open spaces all over the world, full stop. So there's your sentence.
Done.
And it started in 2004 in the UK, and not dissimilar to me starting it here. The founder, Paul St. Hewitt, I'm sure didn't start it with the grand vision that it was going to become what it is now. And in fact, Paul, who I've obviously become very good friends with over the years, he was a quite competitive club runner. I think his marathon PB is somewhere around 2:45. So, pretty handy runner. And he was out running with his dogs, and tripped over his dogs, and basically did all sorts of injuries to himself. That meant he was going to have an extended period that he couldn't run, fractured this and tore this and whatever. And so Paul's running club and his friends at the running club were sort of integral to his life and to his social life, etc. So he thought, right, I need to do something that's going to keep me in touch with my running friends. And so he came up with, you know, the concept of what we now know as Parkrun, which was and it was really, and you know, Paul will be the first to admit this, it was really for selfish reasons. You know, he wanted to do something that would almost force his friends and their friends to come to him on a Saturday morning so they could all have coffee together afterwards. That was sort of like the big motivator. So Parkrun started out a very you know, basic and different circumstances to sort of how we view it now. You know, in time, that event grew. It was called UK Time Trial when it first started, UKTT. So that event grew, and then there were inevitable requests to launch more. And so they, you know, they grew slowly in the UK. And when I found out about it, I was living over there. I lived in the UK for 10 years. And as you say, running wasn't something that was a big part of my life. I went to the gym. I did other, you know, active pursuits. I ran a bit.
You banged out a marathon, didn't you? Did you run a 3:12? Well, I think I heard somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the turning point for me in my running life was my wife and I moved to, well, my now wife, we weren't at the time, but we moved to Montenegro. We had a work opportunity to go there for 6 months. And we were living in this beautiful town called Kotor. So if your listeners probably haven't heard of Kotor in Montenegro, I suggest you Google it. It's an incredible sort of medieval town on this huge fjord with mountains, and just a stunning place. And so we were lucky enough to live there for 6 months, and I decided, I said, right, we've got 6 months, I'm going to train for a marathon. I thought, I think at that point I might have done a couple of half marathons, but, you know, not trained for them or anything, just, you know, sort of was just a bit of a hack recreational runner. I thought, right, I'm going to train for a marathon. So I bought myself a Garmin and, you know, all the gear and whatnot, and signed up to the Munich Marathon, which was sort of at the end of the European summer. It's in September. So I had 6 months to train for that. So I spent my time in Montenegro. I downloaded a training program off the internet and trained really hard. Actually, to be honest, it's probably the hardest and most consistently I've ever trained for a marathon. Yeah. I've done a few more since, but you know, I really followed the program for this one, and it was great. And you know, I did a 3:35 or something like that on debut. My goal was about 3:30, but to be honest, I was just happy to finish. I was in that much pain, but it was a great sort of experience. And obviously, I've done a few more since then. And I think my PB's, well, I think it's 3. I should know, shouldn't I? 3:15, yeah. Maybe.
Marathon PBs are important to know, mate. You should know that one off the top of your head. Yeah.
It's funny, I really should. But
I'm imagining you've got a lot of park run stats in your head as well, so that may be a reason why your PBs have dropped off.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is with that, I don't know a lot of my. I mean, I know my park run PB, and that's about it. Like, you know, I had someone say to me at park run a couple of months back, they're like, happy 200th. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, today's your 200th park run. I was like, oh, is it? You know, I didn't know. You know, someone had obviously seen that, you know, the stats somewhere. And you know, and I think that's one of the beauties of park run is that it's kind of what you want it to be. And for some people, what they want to get out of it is they love the stats and the numbers and the data and the PBs and the course records and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I think all that's cool, but it's not something that I dwell on. I don't analyze my data and my stats the way that probably some people do. You know, like, I'm on Strava, but really I rarely go back and look at my Strava. I sort of put my things up, I might upload a photo, and that's about where it ends for me. I don't analyze my splits or anything like that. And as I say, it's because running and park run can be what it is to me, can be completely different to what it means to you. So
and it can be different each week as well. Like, it's, yeah, sometimes it can be going for getting some data and having an all-out hit out, but other times it can be socially or jogging or pacing people as well. That's probably the beauty of it.
Yeah, and that's probably more my focus, particularly since I've had kids. Like, my park run's been probably more about getting the kids down there, running with the pram and so on, and, you know, less about me continually, you know, aspiring to hit PBs and things like that. Although in saying that, for the first time in my life, actually, I've just completed a 10-week training block specifically aimed at lowering my 5K PB. So I've kind of indulged in that of late. But typically, a park run for me is about the people and going and hanging out with everyone and high-fiving people and watching the kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. When's the PB attempt happening?
No, I've done it.
Oh, you've done it. Did you get it?
I didn't do an all-time PB. My all-time parkrun PB is down on the Gold Coast at Kira Parkrun, which is arguably the fastest, flattest parkrun in the country. Now, I'm not going to say it is because I'm sure people will argue with me on that one, but it's certainly a very fast, flat course. And my PB down there was set in – must have been 2012, so, 5 years ago now, in the early days of parkrun, 18:25, I think it is the PB. I'm not sure I'll ever get that one, but my PB up here at Airlie Beach was 1949 that I did in the winter up here, which, living up here in the tropics, the season makes a hell of a difference when you're running. But anyway, I did this 10-week training block that finished just before Christmas, and on the 23rd of December, I did 18:48. So I lowered my PB by 1 second after 10 weeks. But I think I dare say that had I been at that same level of fitness and done it in the winter, it would have been a different outcome, because it is quite brutally hot to be running. Running hard and running fast up here at the moment. But nonetheless, it was, the real purpose of the training block for me was less about the actual PB and more about just the training. I really wanted to enjoy, some focused training rather than just sort of plodding along as I had been doing. So that was really enjoyable and nice, putting myself through the paces of a 10 week block.
Yeah, right. Take me back to the UK, though. So you've gone over, you've run this 3:35, and then how do you stumble across parkrun over there?
Yeah, okay. So the other factor to bring in there is that when I was living in this town, we adopted a dog. And this dog, the locals called him Budo, which Montenegrin or Serbian, the language is the same. Budo is just quite a common man's name, so they called the dog Budo for some reason. So we found this dog. He was just living on the streets, and we kind of took him in. And the way it worked was I would wake up in the morning for these runs pretty early, because again, it's quite hot in that part of Europe in the summer. And he would come with me. He'd just be out in the street, and I'd walk out of the little apartment that we're in, and he little tar would start wagging, and off we went. We'd go to the front of this town on this bay where we lived, and he'd come running, and I might have been going for, say, a 10K or a 12K run or something. He'd probably stick with me for about 3Ks, and then he'd just stop, and I'd run off and turn around. I'd come back, and he'd be there waiting for me, and we'd run back to the house. So I built this relationship with this dog through running, and when our 6 months came to an end, we decided, right, we're going to take this dog with us. So we adopted him and took him back to the UK, and that's a whole nother story of how that happened, but it's not I won't tell it on this podcast.
We've seen some strange things on this podcast before. It wouldn't be the strangest stuff going on, I'm sure, but yeah, we'll stick to the running chat.
Yeah exactly. So anyway, we got back to the UK, and he was just, that was the relationship. This dog was my running partner. So I would go for jogs, and he would come, and whether it was a couple of K in the middle of winter or whatever, he would just come out. Sometimes it was really cold, he'd have his little running jacket on, little doggy jacket. And we renamed him too, so his name was Clarence. So Clarence would come with me, and so that was just it. So for a couple of years, he's just coming for runs with me. And then I was sort of loosely in a triathlon club when I got back. I joined a club and did a few triathlons and so on. And someone said to me one day, they said, "Did you know that there's somewhere that you can go running with your dog and get a time?" And I was like, "Oh, really? But tell me more." And they said, yeah, it's this thing called Parkrun. The nearest one is in Wimbledon, Wimbledon Common, which is a big park in obviously in Wimbledon. And I thought, okay, I'm going to check this out. So Clarence and myself went up to Wimbledon Parkrun in the middle of sort of 2010, and we had a run. And from memory, I did two park runs in the sort of before I reached out to Paul St. Hewitt to have a chat to him about it. One of them I didn't have my barcode, so I've only officially got a registered for one of them. But and a lot of, you know, listeners who are park runners can appreciate the importance of bringing your barcode to park runs. So I did a couple of park runs and then reached out to park run. Obviously, I didn't know who I was going to end up speaking with, but just sent an email to the generic park run website and just said I'm moving back to Australia. My background is XYZ. Is there any interest in expanding park run overseas? So, and I got a response from Paul St. Hewitt, the founder, and I met with him in a little coffee shop, and we had a really good chat, and then I met him again a few weeks later. He brought one of his mates with him for reinforcement, just to get a second opinion as to whether or not I was a good bloke or not.
So you sent that email with the intention of, like, I'm the guy to take it back to Australia, or did you just want to be the guy going for a run in Australia at an organised park run?
No. Look, I was laying it out as in, these are my qualifications as to why I would be able to launch Parkrun in Australia.
It's pretty ballsy. Like, you must have had a lot of confidence that it was going to work.
Yeah, well, you know, as I say, I wasn't sort of saying I'm going to take this to Australia and we're going to have 260 events in 7 years. You know, it was around, you know, these are my qualifications. You know, I had experience in event management, and I had a background in human movement as well. So sort of an education in sports and sports science and whatnot. So I sort of thought, on paper, this probably look like good qualifications to do something like this. So I just wrote it down, and you know, the intent initially was just to launch an event. You know, it was like, let's get an event happening. I think at that point, I hadn't even decided where we were going to live in Australia. We were sort of like, you know, my family were in Brisbane, but where was myself and my wife? We were off to South Africa to get married and then to move to Australia. That was our kind of plan. So anyway, met with Paul and we decided, you know, he agreed that we would do it. And so he was taking a massive punt, because he didn't know me from a bar of soap. I think, you know, he could have easily just said, no, it's not the right time, or no, I don't like you, or whatever is the case.
Yeah,
but
he had to give you, like trust with his baby kind of thing that he'd, build up.
Absolutely. You know, in retrospect, it would have been a massive decision by him to do it. So, and you know, it's, you know, Paul and I will forever be bonded by the, you know, the fact that we did that together. You know, we sort of had those conversations, and he took a chance on me, and I guess I took a chance on the concept. So, yeah, we agreed that it would happen, and then. I didn't even get to another park run after that in the UK. I was so busy packing up my life after 10 years, and I had holidays planned and things happening. So, you know, Paul and I continued to liaise via the phone and emails and whatnot. And so I then ended up in South Africa in sort of December of 2010 with a piece of paper from Paul saying that I could launch park run in Australia. And my wife's brother's best friend worked for Adidas in South Africa, and I was telling him about what I was doing, and he then introduced me to the head of sponsorship and marketing at Adidas in Australia. So I sort of had an in there and had various meetings with Adidas when we got back, and they ended up becoming our foundation sponsor, which was really, I mean, that really is what kind of got us going. The original couple of park runs were launched, I financed them myself, but it was obviously once we got a little bit of finance through some, you know, pretty low level sponsorship from Adidas that, you know, sort of got things moving a bit. So, We decided we were going to move to the Gold Coast. So even before we left the UK, I'd had a few conversations with a lady called Samantha Hughes, who was and still is the sort of head of well-being and head of parks activities and whatnot in the city of Gold Coast. And it was perfect timing because Sam herself is a former Gold Coast Marathon winner. She's actually a correct. I think I've got this fact right. She's the last Gold Coaster to win the Gold Coast Marathon, male or female. So I think she won the female marathon in 2000.
Yeah, right.
So as soon as I got her on the phone and was talking running, she was very, very receptive. And the mayor of the Gold Coast at the time was Ron Clark. So as soon as you know, the message got to Ron that this was happening, he was obviously, you know, opening any doors he could and whatnot. So from that perspective, the timing of me contacting Gold Coast or City of Gold Coast Council to about Parkrun, you know, couldn't have been better, you know, to have these two hot, very important and obviously powerful advocates on the inside there to help us get off the ground. So, ended up in the Gold Coast in January 2011 and... You know, I guess it took us 3 months to get the first event up and running, which was in April 2011. We launched Main Beach Park Run. I'd sort of recruited a little team of volunteers to get it up and running, and it was instantly successful, which was really great to see. I think we had 111 or something like that at the first event, of which there were, you know, a handful that had done parkrun before. They were either UK expats or Aussies who'd done it in the UK. So there was a little bit of parkrun knowledge already on the Gold Coast as to what was going on. And then from there, it just grew steadily. And we launched the second event in Brisbane in September that year, and then the third event in Melbourne in November, and the fourth event in Sydney. And then it just kind of went from there, I think. You know, the rest is kind of history, I guess, as we say. And, you know, you mentioned before, we're now up to 264 sites around the country. We've also, from our office, overseen the expansion into Singapore. There's going to be further expansion in Asia in the coming year, which is exciting as well, that we're sort of quite closely involved with. Obviously, there's parkrun in New Zealand as well. That's run by a separate team, but we all work together. So there's a, you know, great footprint of parkrun in this part of the world now.
Yeah, and at that early stage, was it still just like a bit of a hobby, or was it a job, or like were you just seeing the future a bit, or I could imagine that you were.
Good question, and it's funny because I can't quite really remember what was going through my head in those very early stages. I certainly. You know, it was never my initial intention that it was going to be a job. Because I'd lived overseas for 10 years, my sort of professional network was more or less non-existent. And I do remember one of the drivers for me was that if I was successful in establishing parkrun, it would be a great way for me to grow my own network and meet people, and that maybe that would have led to a job. Somewhere doing something, but you know, as it sort of unfolded, and you know, I mentioned earlier the initial 3 year sponsorship that we had with Adidas. I mean, that was crucial because that was probably when we sort of got that deal across the line. That was when I probably started to see that, okay, well, this is I see how this could become something that I could actually work on as a job, because if I had two or three more businesses who were doing what Adidas were doing, which was actually financially contributing to the organization, then not only can we cover costs, which was the original goal, which was to just cover the cost of the equipment and all that sort of stuff, but you know, it might be able to pay a salary to someone, and then it might be, you know, who knows, might be able to pay two salaries, et cetera, et cetera. So it was in the second year, so I think we'd been going for about 15 months when I stopped doing any other work. Parkrun became my sole focus. So I guess you'd say I've been full-time on Parkrun now since the mid 2012. So, and you know, that's, and you know, now there's five full-time staff plus a couple of part-time staff, and you know, that the team will continue to grow here as we grow. So it's I could never have sort of predicted the path that it's taken, but it's now become something that's enveloped my whole life, and basically more or less not only my professional life, but also I've made so many great friendships off the back of park runners, not just my staff, but so many wonderful people I've met who are volunteers around the place, and also just participants. So it's been an incredible thing in my life, that's for sure.
Those early days, like just checking your computer at lunchtime on a Saturday, must have been just seeing the growth. Like, I can only imagine, do you sit down and hit refresh on some massive database and just see how many runs roll in every Saturday afternoon and just watch it get bigger and bigger each week and each month and each year?
Yeah. And there's lots of, we've got lots of written evidence of that sort of thing. If we go back and look at a parkrun newsletter from 2013, I will have been writing about it, saying, wow, we had an incredible 5,000 people do parkrun on Saturday, that kind of thing, and now we have an amazing 46 events around Australia or whatever it might be. And in those days, those numbers were massive. Like, we just couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, we've got an event in every state. This is incredible. Things like that. And it's just the way it goes. I guess the milestones or the markers that were once seen as out of reach, and then you reach them and then you pass them, and then they're just consigned to history and you move on to the next thing. And, we've recently passed 500,000 registrations in Australia. We've recently passed 250 events. We're now at 260 odd. So the milestones just keep growing. And I guess what we're really looking at now is how long till we have our millionth registration. That's going to be a pretty significant milestone, and something that we no doubt make a bit of a song and dance about. We'll probably find out who that millionth person is, and fly them somewhere and make a deal of it in the press and things like that. The milestones just keep ticking in, and I think we just worked out the other day that if you add all the kilometres that park runners have run in the 11 years, well, how many years is it now? So 13 years. It's from the earth to the sun, and it's just staggering. I mean, they're numbers that we can't, I can't comprehend that. I don't actually know what that means, from the earth to the sun, other than the fact that it's massive. We've got our stats team who are in the UK, and they track all these things and come up with all these incredible statistics that we have. I think another one was we had more people do a park run somewhere in the world on New Year's Day than people who did a park run in the first 6.5 years of park run's existence. so a single day. So it's all the numbers are just continuing to surpass all of our expectations, and there really is no end in sight. I mean, none of us, there's no slowdown in anything, and even in the UK, where it's been established for much longer, growth continues to accelerate. There really is just this appetite for more park runs, and we will deliver.
And what's that relationship like with Paul now? Like, do you not get a bit arrogant or cocky or anything, but do you send through some of the stats just saying, look, I was just that guy that met you at the cafe that day, and look what I've kind of been able to do?
Paul, he's got this lovely, how must it feel to be Paul Sinton Hewitt? I mean, it feels good to be me, and all I did was bring someone else's idea to Australia, and I feel great about that. And I wonder, Paul every day must just pinch himself, he must just wake up and he must look in the mirror and go, wow, like this very, very simple idea that I had has grown into this incredible movement that is literally changing lives, saving lives, and making the world a better place. I mean, he must just look in the mirror and just you know, there must be like a halo above his head. He must just think it's incredible. But, you know, Paul and I have got, a really special relationship. You know, Australia was the first proper international expansion. So the trust that he instilled in me and likewise, you know, I guess the faith in the concept that I had is something that's, you know, I guess historically will go down in parkrun folklore, really, about how you know, parkrun grew out of the UK and with Australia being the lead from that. I don't see him as much as I would like because obviously he's over there and I'm over here. But you know, when we do, it's nice, and we try to catch up on the phone from time to time. And you know, Paul's role now really with parkrun, other than to sort of oversee a lot of the sort of fundamentals of the ethos of parkrun and whatnot, which he does as a member of the global board. His role really is that he is the global ambassador of parkrun. You know, he travels around and meets parkrunners and meets volunteers and meets politicians and you know, he was received honours from Prince William at Windsor Castle a couple of years back. So you know, he's now reaping the rewards of you know, everything that he put on the line to make parkrun happen. You know, he invested huge amounts of money and huge amounts of his time to grow parkrun from you know, what it was to what it is now. So you know, hats off to him.
And what's it going to be, mate? Like, what's the future? Like, 'cause the concept can't really change, can it? But where's it going to be in another? Is it just going to be more numbers and more events in the next 5, 10, and 20 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt that that's part of it. Is that just there'll just be continued growth, doing what we're doing now. But there's probably two significant additions to that from an Australian perspective. One is that we'll be announcing reasonably soon, I hope, our first junior parkrun locations. And so junior parkrun is a 2-kilometre Sunday morning event for children aged 4 to 14 years. It's been established in the UK now for, I think, about 3 years, and it's wildly successful. It's been embraced not just by existing parkrunners who have children, but by a whole new section of the community who were looking for things to do with their kids on weekends to keep them active. So we're pretty close to announcing some information on that. And we expect that once that starts, it's going to have huge momentum and, you know, that's going to keep us all very busy. The second element is, I guess, where we are looking to put new parkrun events. And typically the model is that, a person in the community will contact us and say, you know, I live in Curl and I want to bring parkrun to my community. So we then work with that person to make it happen. Well, we will continue to do that, but what we're also now looking to do is work with other stakeholders within communities, such as departments of health or other sort of similar organisations who can say to us, well, you know, our community is socially disadvantaged or has high unemployment or other issues. We think a parkrun would be great in this community. How can we make that happen? So we'll be looking to actively put parkruns in communities that need parkrun, as opposed to ones where an individual is looking to bring parkrun into their community. So think about areas of disadvantage, Indigenous communities, you know, communities that have high unemployment or issues with drugs, things like that. So we've got our first, I guess you'd call it a pilot, coming up. We're working with the New South Wales Department of Health to launch San Remo Parkrun, which is the central coast of New South Wales. That's happening, I believe, in January. And the way that we've got that one off the ground is there's I think about 3 or 4 existing parkruns that are within about half an hour of San Remo. So we've recruited a volunteer team from all those existing events, people sort of putting their hand up saying, yes, I want to sort of help out a nearby community. So they're going to go into San Remo for initially 6 months to get that event set up, and the goal will be that they transition themselves out as more people from the actual local community transition into the key volunteer roles. So we're really excited about that concept, and we think if it's something that works there, we'll be able to roll out that model more around Australia. So I guess, yeah, looking to have more impact with the locations that we're going into.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I just looked at your profile today. You've run 231 different park runs, so you must have some, I guess, have you heard some amazing stories, and I guess the podcast is called Tell Me Your Tales, from park runners that have just blown you away and really changed their lives that you could share?
Yeah, well, I mean, God, there's so many. Mark, I can tell you, I'll probably tell you one about myself.
Was the next question. Have you got a pinch yourself moment that you were just like, whoa, park runs brought me here?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was running around Parliament House the other day with Bill Shorten, and I thought, wow, this is, you know, you don't do this every day. I had a bit of a breakdown about a year and a half ago, to do with sort of anxiety disorder and stress and whatnot. And I was sitting in the airport at the Whitsundays about to fly to Sydney, and just had this massive panic attack from nowhere. Like, I didn't see it coming, and then I had to have sort of 3 months off work, and I was sort of, you know, diagnosed with anxiety disorder and dealing with that. It was massively confronting for me, and you know, throughout my time with parkrun, I'd heard stories. You know, people have written in saying, you know, parkrun's helped me with my mental health issues and the support of the parkrun community and so on and so forth. And then here I was, as you know, I guess the leader of that community, and I was having my own issues. And I thought, wow, you know, I've been sort of copying and pasting people's stories out of emails into a newsletter for, you know, 4 or 5 years now, and now I'm sort of confronted with my own situation. And so I had some time off work and reassessed some things, and you know, had visits to psychologists and you know, sort of educated myself a little bit more about what was going on. And but, you know, one of the absolute main things for me in my recovery was actually getting back into parkrun. Like, I had a couple of weeks off going to parkrun when this happened. You know, I didn't tell anyone what was going on. I sort of kept a pretty low profile. I had a little bit of time there where I sort of didn't want to get out of the house. So I was just really, you know, lost a lot of confidence from what had happened. And then, and yeah, probably the first step in me recovering from a public perspective was I got myself back out to parkrun. And, you know, I'll never forget that first day I went back to Airlie Beach parkrun, and all the friendly faces just looked at me. They didn't know what had been going on, and they were like, oh, Tim, we haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm getting hugs and high fives and whatnot. And I thought, yeah, you know, I get it now. Like, I thought I understood before, but here was me actually, you know, in my living my own version of these emails that were getting sent to me, these sort of testimonial type things. And I thought, wow, you know, here's my own actual experience of how the parkrun community is supporting me personally through something that was a bit of a struggle. So that was, you know, that was certainly, you know, a tell me your tale kind of moment. I mean,
yeah,
that was
for being honest, yeah.
Yeah, no, look, I'm really open in talking about it, and I've written about my dealings with anxiety a couple of times in the parkrun newsletter. And you know, the one thing that I keep finding in life now, the more I talk about my issues with mental health, the more people also are going through it. And you know, so many people have you know, even close friends of mine, not, you know, not to do with parkrun, just friends of mine from school or whatever, have quietly sort of come to me and said, look, I've been dealing with my own stuff, and, you know, thanks for sharing your stuff, because it's helping me and whatnot. So it's been trying to turn a negative into a positive for me with that sort of stuff. And it's still something I deal with. Like, you know, I think once you've had any sort of struggle with your mental health, it never really goes away. So, you know, the dealing with sort of low level anxiety is something that I sort of live with somewhat. And it's funny, because it's, you know, like, I'm not nervous talking to you today, or I don't get nervous with things like public speaking, which are what a lot of people freak out about. But there are other things that kind of trigger me off, which, you know, so it's different for everybody. But yeah, sort of like a real parkrun moment for me was sort of getting back into parkrun and that and helping me through it. So that's been really phenomenal for me.
And has running continued to play that part? Like, do you have to get your daily run in to deal with that anxiety at times?
Yeah, look, I definitely find that if I have I can probably get through a day with not exercising, maybe two. But if I get to that point where I've done a couple of days without exercising, I don't, it's not that I want to exercise. Like, I have to do, you know, I have to do some exercise. And what I did in the time that I had off work when I was really sort of struggling with it, I've got an exercise bike here at home, and I just sat on the exercise bike for 20 minutes every day. You know, it didn't matter what speed I was going. It was just a case of just, you know, turning the legs over. And I just sort of said to myself, I need to just be consistent, just to get those good hormones going every day. And, you know, that was really helpful. And, but now that I've, you know, I'm in a much better and stronger place than I was then, I just find that exercise is so important, to keeping my head right. And, you know, you read about things like that in books or whatever, but it's so true. Like, you know, I really need to, just, you know, be out there. I think from a physical sense in terms of just working up a sweat and, you know, your body releasing the endorphins and whatnot, but also from the social sense, you know, seeing the people and having the banter and whatnot, that, you know, any sort of good running group or group of people who are active together is always a good chat as you're doing it. And so that is really important for me.
And that friendly community, like, we've got an out and back course here. Whenever I try to run super fast on it, I know when you come back in the opposite direction, you almost don't want to dig deep because you actually want to smile and wave and be a part of the fun. And it's like, I've got a mate who I'm on another podcast with, and he can go and run 14:45 every week at his park run, but I can't seem to get anywhere near my best at a park run because it's just too relaxing, and you want to be a part of the community feel and not be that guy who's, yeah, sprinting and gritting his teeth and really trying to get every ounce of energy out of yourself.
Yeah, I know, and I'm very conscious of that when I'm at parkrun too, is that, you know, even if I'm hurting, I really try and high, particularly kids, if there's kids running past, I'll really try and give high fives to kids. But yeah, you know, just smiling and encouraging everyone, even if you're sort of hurting yourself. But yeah, because we've got an out and back course up here in Airlie as well. So you do sort of see everybody when you're doing it, they see you and that pain on your face, which you know, you've mentioned. But let me tell you another story as well. Just this is one that I've was told to me recently. It's on the same sort of mental health theme, but it's a cracker. Had a friend who was park running down at on the Gold Coast at Mudjerabar Park Run. I won't name names, but I'm happy to say what park run it was. And there was so she'd sort of finished her park run, and she noticed that there was a lady who was kind of towards the back, going pretty slow. She was a heavy set lady, had multiple kids with her, so I think, you know, maybe a couple in the pram or something like that. And she thought, oh, well, you know, I'm going to sort of have a chat to this lady at the end and just sort of say congratulations and whatnot. So they got talking, and it ends up that this lady she'd been at parkrun a few weeks, but before that, for probably like the month before that, she would drive to Mudjerabar Parkrun with her kids in the car, and she would sit there and she would watch everyone get out, and, you know, all these people in their, you know, tight fitted running gear and their fancy shoes and their gadgets and whatnot, and she would sit there. And she just couldn't get out of the car. So this was her thing. She would drive to Mudjerabar Parkrun every Saturday, all ready to go, and not get out of the car because she was just so nervous and anxious and intimidated. And not only that, she'd basically been told by the doctor, you either need to exercise. So she had depression, and the doctor had said, you've got two choices here. You can here's your prescription. You can go get antidepressants, or you can exercise. And so she would go to parkrun, and she would sit there. She would have her parkrun barcode in one hand and her prescription for antidepressants in the other. And it was kind of like this sliding doors moment. What am I going to do? Do I choose the barcode or do I choose the prescription? And so she did this sort of, I don't know how many weeks, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and then finally she sort of built up enough courage. She tore up the prescription, grabbed the barcode, got out of the car, got the kids, and started doing parkrun. And was now, you know, it had become a weekly thing for her. And when I and look, I've heard some good stories in my time, and that one sort of stopped me in my tracks when I was told this. So I only heard this a couple of months back. So I was like, wow. I mean, again, I always sort of think back to Paul Sinton Hewitt and even like then myself. Neither of us would have ever thought that parkrun is gonna do that for someone. We never would have thought that parkrun was going to be that thing for someone to help them in a situation like that. So yeah, when I heard that story, I was just like, whoa, that's big,
that's huge. And I can imagine there's like marriages and like a whole lot of kind of different relationships that have been formed just from the weekly parkrun and stuff as well. Like, it's really changed people's lives.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, there's one of my favourites is you might know Tom DeCanto, yep. Melbourne Marathon winner from
2:14 last year, man, at Fukuoka not so long ago. Yep.
Yeah. So Tom, in the very early days of St. Peter's Parkrun, there's Tom, you know, crossing the line at St. Peter's in 14 minutes or whatever it was. He gets handed a token from a young lady. Their eyes meet. You know, the violins start playing, the, you know, whatever, and Tom and Lana were married, I think, about 4 months later. So they were our first known Parkrun Australia marriage. And you know, I keep in touch with them on Facebook and see them around when I can. But you know, they hold a little special place in the history of Parkrun Australia as our first Parkrun wedding. And it was even better because Lana's parents were, I then met her parents in the UK because they were regulars at Richmond Park Parkrun, and I was over there and I met them there quite randomly. So yeah, lovely story. But you know, that was the first one. I'm sure we've had many, many more since then that, you know, I would never know about. But yeah, there's plenty of that sort of stuff. And you know, one of the things I love hearing is about families that park run together. And I don't mean sort of mum and dad and the kids, but more when you've got families who are spread around a town and you know, they don't see each other during the week, and then they use park run as their sort of excuse or opportunity to all get together and debrief on their week and talk about life and what's ahead, and everyone catches up. And I, you know, I think that's such a positive positive thing that you know, people can do. They can use parkrun as an opportunity to get out and get a bit sweaty and do something physically positive, but also you know, then catch up with friends and family and connect with people, because that's, you know, it's so many people live quite isolated existences these days, which is ironic given how connected we all are through technology. But I think if anything, that's in many ways has made people more disconnected sort of physically and emotionally than they would have ever been once before. So, and, you know, parkrun's kind of filling that gap for a lot of people.
Yeah, and from, I guess, humble beginnings, like starting out with just that one parkrun, have you now noticed that, you know, Athletics Australia are taking or kind of paying attention and want to see how they can get involved, and like different, I know there's like TomTom and Suncorp and Medibank are all sponsors. Like, have you just watched that engagement grow and grow, whereas at the start it might have been a bit hard to get those big sponsors and stuff on board?
Yeah. Look, there's no doubt that the bigger we get, the more doors open. You know, Athletics Australia is a great example. I was sort of more or less knocking on their door for a long time, sort of trying to, you know, meet with whoever it was that I should meet with to find out how Parkrun could support athletics, but also how athletics could support Parkrun. And it wasn't until they sort of had a change of regime, a change of management, a change of board several years ago that there was any sort of significant coming together of Parkrun and Athletics Australia. And now we've got an absolutely brilliant relationship. The previous CEO, Phil Jones, great guy, and Phil and I would catch up regularly and worked on things together. And the new CEO, Darren Gosha, who is a park runner himself, is, you know, again, we have a great relationship, and Mark Arbib, who is the president of Athletics Australia, again, he's a mad keen park runner, and so yeah, really, really great relationship there. And then yeah, with the sponsors, as you say, I mean, I was sort of begging and scratching for anything we could get in the early days in terms of just any sort of support or funding that we could get to get events up and running. And you know, we're now in a fortuitous position that we can actually say no to brands who are approaching us because we don't think the fit is appropriate or various other reasons. But what it, you know, certainly the partners that we have on board now, Medibank, Suncorp, and TomTom, but I would say in particular Medibank are highly engaged, highly supportive, and really are assets to the growth of parkrun in Australia. So we're very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, it must be awesome. And I guess back to that like Athletics Australia point, like, just looking at parkrun on paper, there's probably a bigger chance that the next Australian marathon representative at the Olympics in, you know, 11 years' time is going to come from a parkrun background and not a little athletics background.
Yeah, look, you know, you're very possibly right. You know, looking at sort of the way the traditional pathway, I guess, if you want to call it, which is probably more sort of little A's into a running club, potentially also obviously the school programs that exist and then into senior athletics. I mean, I guess that's the traditional program. It's very possible that we might have kids who become junior park runners and just all they do initially is park run. They could junior park run until they're 14 and then do park run and then sort of come into the system that way. And look, if that happens, that'd be great. We don't really see that as a primary reason why we have parkrun. You know, we don't exist to produce.
Not to produce, create them. Yeah.
Yeah. What I would love to see off the back of junior parkrun, as an example, is not just kids joining little A's or running clubs, but kids playing footy and basketball and netball. You know, I would say that junior parkrun is really just a door opener into a healthy life, and whether that healthy life actually involves formal running, or whether it's a healthy life that just involves being active with your kids, or whether it's other sport, you know, so be it. You know, we just want, I guess, we see parkrun, but in particular junior parkrun when we're talking about pathways as being an entry into that sort of healthy lifestyle. So, but you know, we will definitely be working with AA and little A's to push those pathways, you know, into the running stuff if they're agreeable, which I'm sure they will be.
Yeah, I think with your numbers, they'll be pretty happy to have you on site for sure. And I guess one of the final questions, Tim, is, what have you learned about the running community? Like, obviously, you've been to so many different park runs and been immersed in so many different communities here and all over the world. And yeah, I guess what's your opinion of the running community, but is there anything that's really stood out to you about how runners operate?
Yeah, I'll comment with regards to not so much the running community as runners would see it, which is, you know, club running and so on, but I'll as more as like a park running community. And that is that, you know, whether I'm at park run or in Airlie Beach, or whether I'm at a park run in Melbourne, or whether I'm at a park run in South Africa or the UK, the basics are all the same. You know, these people who are doing it are typically community minded people. They're friendly people. They're motivated people. They're people that want to have a chat. They want to tell their stories. They want to hear your stories, and they, you know, they seem to care about their community. And I think the, you know, certainly the volunteering aspect of parkrun is, you know, a very important part of what we do. And again, typically people who volunteer are people who are community minded. So it's one of the joys of parkrun is traveling around and you know, whether it's your own parkrun or another parkrun, they're typically the vibe is the same. It's these supportive, healthy, active, happy communities that parkrun is fostering. As such, the people who were there sort of display those characteristics. And and you know, for every, you know, person that's like me who's overcome something, or like the lady, you know, I mentioned who sat in the car, you know, every parkrun event is going to have people like that who were there, who have been supported through things by their fellow parkrunners. And you know, as such, we'll be, you know, eternally grateful to those people in that community. So yeah, I guess I'd be saying to anyone who's listening who hasn't yet sort of got out into a parkrun community or isn't yet involved in sort of a life of being active and being healthy, to get out there and do it, because you know, it's not about winning gold medals. It's just about getting out there, being and meeting other people and sharing a journey together. You know, and I think that's it. We're all on the sort of the long run of life together. So, you know, it may as well be a good one.
Yeah, and such a great way to kick off your weekend as well. Knock that out at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, and you're off to a good start.
That's it.
Favorite course, Tim? Are you allowed to play favorites? I have heard you mention that Main Beach, the first one, was your favorite in the past, but has that changed over the years?
Look, you know, that is obviously the like, what's your favorite? Who's your favorite child? Kind of question. Mm. Yeah. Look, I mean, I'll stand by the fact that, you know, the Main Beach course is an absolute cracker. It's got a lot of diversity, but it's also pretty quick. And obviously, being on the Gold Coast, it's pretty beautiful. But look, there's some great courses around. I mean, I love courses that are a little bit different, that are maybe not necessarily the most, what you might say, postcard courses. But I mean, I did a parkrun in South Africa that was in a sort of an African community. So there were not really, you know, it wasn't somewhere that I guess white people travel to very often. There was a parkrun there, and we went there, and it was basically through cornfields, and it was just run down a muddy road for about 1500 meters, turn right at a it's like a power pole, run another kilometer through this kind of mudded road, turn around and run back. So it wasn't what you might call a postcard perfect parkrun, but it was such an experience to sort of do that and be the only, you know, there was a troop of parkrun management team who were there because we were having a conference in South Africa. So it was us and all the Africans who, you know, these kids who have got no shoes and no clothes and they're running in whatever and, you know, certainly no gadgets. But, you know, to have an experience like that was something that I could have only had through parkrun. You know, obviously we also have parkruns that are held in picture perfect postcard locations, and they're also stunning to go to for that very reason. So look, I don't have a favorite. I mean, I genuinely don't have a favorite. It's not actually because I would, even if I did, I wouldn't say.
Good answer, yeah.
but look, you know what I would say is that every parkrun is somewhat unique, be it for the location or for the people, and I'm yet to do a parkrun that I regretted. they're all good in their own way. So there was a very long way of saying no, I don't have a favorite parkrun.
Nah, you did it well. And the final question I asked all the guests, Tim, is: do they have a mantra or a philosophy or a life quote that you try to live your life by? Just like, not so much running wise, but just generally try to live your life by.
Yeah, look, I don't want to turn this into me talking about anxiety too much, but when I was sort of at a point where I was more or less back to working full time, I was back at work, I'd had time off work, the biggest trigger for me that set off my anxiety was around flying, because not that I was scared of flying, but this is where I'd had this panic attack, was out at the airport, and so I had this kind of fear of going back to the airport. And when it got to the point that I felt that I was ready to face that, I guess the mantra that I had in my head, and it sounds very cliched, like it should be like a Nike commercial or something, but was I've got one life and I've got to live it. And so, in other words, I can't let this stop me doing what I want to do and need to do. So I found that as quite a powerful kind of quote. You know, I didn't read that anywhere. It was just something that I sort of came up with in my head. So I can't attribute the quote to anyone. But yeah, I sort of functioned off this. Right, I've got one life, and that's it. So let's live it. Let's get back out there. Let's do everything I was doing before, and let's see how that goes. So yeah, one life, live it. I think is probably the mantra that I have used, although I don't sort of say it every day, but it's something that has helped me through some tough times. So yeah, I think that's.
I could imagine that lady in the car thinking the same thing when she got out that day for the parkrun. Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, she probably had something similar going through her head. It was probably something to do with her kids and wanting to, you know, get out and be a positive role model for her kids and sort herself out. So, yeah, it's I think everyone's got their own versions of that mantra, whatever it might be, their own reasons. But, yeah, that was mine. So, yeah, good question. I hadn't thought about that before, but, yeah, good one.
Yeah, no dramas. It always stumps a few people at the very end there. It's a good way to finish strong. Hey, what pace was Bill Shorten running, by the way? What kind of K pace were you guys knocking out?
Well, he's done quite a few park runs. I think his PB sits somewhere in the sort of mid to high 20s. So, one of your listeners will probably check it up on the parkrun database and tell us. I'm going to say it's around 27 minutes, but I could be wrong. And Bill, if you're listening, sorry about that. It could be sub 20. No, but look, he's been to quite a few parkruns. So, which is, you know, whatever your political views are, from our perspective, it's only a good thing to have people like him at parkruns. So, you know, we do encourage our events to invite their local members and everything along because, you know, as an organisation, we need that sort of support at that level to keep growing. So, yeah, we'll see if we can get Bill down to, you know, sub 25 and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. And you haven't got a recommended running doco or book or anything that you could leave the listeners with, something to check out?
Ooh, running doco or book. Well, there is a parkrun book.
There is about the history. There we go.
So I'd say if anyone wanted to delve more into the history of parkrun, there's a book called More Than a Run in the Park is the name of the book by Deborah Bourne. And that tells the sort of history of parkrun up until about the tenth year. So it's obviously a few years old now, but it goes into quite a lot of detail about the early years and, you know, more so about the growth of parkrun in the UK. But it's a pretty good read. What am I reading at the moment? I'm not reading any running related books. So no, I think that'll do. I'll leave it as the parkrun recommendation and we'll leave it at that. So,
good move. Thanks for your time, mate. It's been great. That hour went super fast. It's always good talking running and hearing the tales and the conversation and stuff. And can people follow you anywhere online? Like you said, Strava before or Instagram, or where's the best place to keep track of your training?
Yeah, look, I'm on Strava there. I think my Strava name is Tim Oberg 78. Might be the name. My training's a bit boring. I don't know if anyone would really want to follow my training, but look, I'm around. I'm Tim Oberg 78 on Instagram. I don't really tweet. You know, most of what I got to say, I say through parkrun. So, you know, I'll write a parkrun newsletter or, you know, tell my stories through various forms of parkrun media. So I'd say if you're getting the parkrun newsletter and you sort of follow the parkrun social media, you'll hear anything important I've got to say about anything. So, so I'd say to the listeners, just keep supporting parkrun and, you know, and thanks to everyone who is volunteering and making it happen every week.
Beautiful, mate. Thanks again for your time. Hoping to see you up at Echuca Maloma Parkrun one day. It'd be good to catch you there. You haven't run that one before, have you?
I haven't, no. And I hear it's a cracker.
We're only young. We'll give you some time. I've been going for about 8 months, I think. So,
No, I've heard it's an absolute pearler from the team down there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting down that way.
Beautiful, Tim. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, Brady. Cheers, mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.